All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball today. The Giants try to break that three-game losing streak and get a win here and not get swept by the Chicago White Sox. Some news that we'll give you very quickly. The Giants announced Anthony DeSclafani will have ankle surgery, so that probably means he's out for the year. And Jacob Junis, get ready, get well soon. I imagine he's going to be in there for DeSclafani before you know it. Tyro Estrada on the COVID list today, and the Yerminator, Yermin Mercedes, the big right-handed hitter who hits those lefties pretty well, has been brought up from Sacramento. All right, that is the Giant news that we've got. Joe Sheehan joins us, and as I have Joe on, and I say it all the time, it is the best newsletter, the best baseball newsletter out there. You can check it out, joesheehan.com. Joe, a pleasure to have you with us. How are you?
Good, Marty. Hope you're having a good holiday weekend.
Yeah, I am, and I know you wrote about your holiday weekend. How is it going? I think you're going to watch about 200 games, right?
Yeah, I took last weekend off. I was traveling, so I'm basically just sitting around watching some baseball. And you know, it's been great. You had that great comeback. The Twins put up some great comebacks. The White Sox-Giants game Friday night was fantastic. It's been a really good weekend of ball.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, and I said that Friday night game, it's nothing going into the ninth inning, and it was the anniversary of Juan Marichal and Warren Spahn that went 16 innings before Mays hit the home run to win it 1-0. And they threw like 230 pitches each and all that kind of stuff. And I said, boy, can you imagine another 7 innings of nothing ball? How about that?
I'd love it because it would mean we weren't playing that idiotic extra runner rule.
Right. All right. Let's talk Giants a little bit. They're starting to get a little separation here in the National League West. The Padres have lost 3 to the Dodgers. Now they're 4.5 back. Giants are 8.5 back. The Dodgers, even though they're not clicking on all cylinders, Gonsolin, heck, Cy Young possibility, and Tyler Anderson, 9-1 right behind them. How do you see this West? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I thought at the start of the year the Dodgers were the best team. And you know, as you say, they've had a lot of things go wrong, and it looks like they're going to go into – the All-Star break here, you know, with a significant lead, you know, one of the best teams in the National League. And again, that's with so many things going wrong. They're obviously, you know, Trevor Bauer's actually under suspension. They're not going to get him back. They're getting Mookie Betts back today. That'll be a big deal. I think they'll be managing Clayton Kershaw throughout the year. I think they'll be active at the trade deadline, Marty. I can't see this team going into the postseason. You know, the questions about Walker Buehler, questions about Clayton Kershaw, and just going with Gonsolin and Anderson as the number two. I think they'll be in the market again for a starter.
Mm. What about the Padres? You know, Machado is alone, really. He's on an island out there, and he's having a great season. What do they need? And I watch him, and I just say, boy, there's something missing.
Yeah, they've got a lot of good work out of these reclamation projects, right? Jorge Alfaro, you know, the former Rangers prospect, the former Marlins catcher, he's been great for them. You look at what they've got, you know, Jurickson Profar finally turning into the player. You know, I thought he'd be back in, I don't know, it was 1978 or so when I first started writing about him, I think. And the pitching's been fantastic. I mean, that bullpen, you know, Taylor Rogers had a blow up or two, but you look at what they've gotten out of Garcia and Nabil Chrismat, who was up and down all last year. This is a good pitching staff. I think they got to go out and add a bat, whether that's somebody who's going to play, you know, they're going to bump aside Trent Grisham, who's had a terrible year, and get a true center fielder, or maybe somebody who steps into right field for Will Myers, who's been ineffective and injured, which is a pretty bad combination. But I think one big hairy bat's the solution for them.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Kansas City is dangling Benintendi out there to the Yankees and all sorts of teams. You think he gets traded? And if so, where would he go?
It wouldn't make sense for the Royals not to trade him. I mean, they're in a position right now where they're still building towards something. The one thing about Benintendi, he's a good player overall. He's a very good defensive left fielder. He's not necessarily the kind of impact bat that you'd expect. Maybe he bats second in some lineups, but really he's a number six, number seven hitter. Hits for average, gets on base, doesn't hit for a ton of power. Like I said, I like the player, but in terms of you're looking for that impact bat, he's really not that guy. He's a supporting hitter as opposed to a primary one.
All right, so let's get to the Giants. I know our fan base is waiting to hear your analysis here. You and I have gone back and forth on this for a couple of years already, and your thoughts about the Giants. Where are they now? What do they need? Are you surprised? And what's good, what's bad about them?
you know, they've continued to do what they do, right, which is kind of churn the bottom of the roster, try to hit on the next Lamonte Wade Jr., the next Mike Yastrzemski. And they haven't had a ton of success. It's not a bad offense, but it's not the offense that they had a year ago. And I think you really start to see, for all of the churning of the bottom of the lineup, when you lose a Buster Posey and what he brings to you at the plate at a difficult position to find hitters, that's one of the anchors that makes the rest of the plan work. So I think we've seen the offense really miss the caliber of hitter that he's been. But otherwise, you know, it's just, can they get the top-end performances out of guys like Belt and Crawford, who have definitely fallen off this year from their peak seasons last year? You look at what they haven't gotten out of guys like Ruff and Slater this year. Well, Slater's hit pretty well, but Darren Ruff's fallen off. You have to constantly work that, you know, those, what I would call the 6th through 14th position player spots if you're running a team like this. And they haven't really hit on the upside guys the way they did last year. And that's hurt the offense, particularly over the last 30 days. You look at the last 30 days, they've only hit about 220, Marty, not yep. scoring a ton of runs. And that certainly hurt them because the pitching has been wonderful. I mean, Logan Webb, something of a breakout last year, but he's validated. He's followed up with it. Doesn't walk anybody, man. I love watching him pitch. Such great movement. Almost a guy. Granted, he throws 5 miles an hour faster than any of the guys I grew up watching, but a sinker slider guy in the traditional sense. You know, the kind of pitcher that we don't think of having success today, but he would have fit right in with like the Rick Rushel teams of the 87, 88, 89.
Well, that's a good comparison, Rick Rushel. I could just see the Rick Rushel slider right now that yep. just swooped across the plate. What about Rodon? And I'll say it this way. I think they've got two aces. And I think if they get in the playoffs, and, you know, look, the first series is 3 games, and then after that it expands. But, you know, you've got the good pitchers that can win a couple of games in the playoffs. What about another starting pitcher? I tend to go there first and let the offense kind of do what it does. I would get a Castillo or someone like that, a legitimate starter to put in this rotation.
Oh, anybody you're going to get on that level is going to require a pretty expensive payout and prospects. I mean, there are a lot of teams with better farm systems. And the Giants have a good farm system, but they're teams with stronger farm systems and deeper farm systems that you're going to be competing with to get the Castillos and the Montases. And I don't even know if the A's would Dave Cavall let them trade Frankie Montas to the Giants? He seems a little bad at the Giants these days.
I
would think not, right? But you mentioned Rodon. This is roughly where Carlos Rodon was a year ago. The question with Rodon was never how good a pitcher he is. We're finally seeing the pitcher. We thought he'd be coming out of NC State a million years ago. The question is, can he give you 30 starts? Can he give you 180 innings? That's the, like I said, right a year ago at this time, Rodon looked exactly this good. Then he started having the injury issues, and he really didn't finish the season strong. So you talk about adding a pitcher. I think you want to add a pitcher for two reasons. One, to fill in that third or fourth spot. And Marty, I'm going to tell you, I think Alex Cobb's going to turn out to have a great second half. If you look at his actual performance versus his ERA, he's been one of the unluckiest pitchers in baseball. I think he's somebody who can really be a number three for this team. But I think you've got to get a starter because you don't know what you're going to get out of Rodon. He just doesn't have a recent track record of giving you a full season of work. And certainly not if we're talking about the Giants playing a full October where you're going to want to get another 6 to 8 starts out of him. So, again, I'd look at that offense and try to add a bat. But I think your point that they really do need to bolster that rotation is probably closer to the truth.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. And I would trade prospects. Prospects are people who haven't done anything yet. And you're going to get more prospects and more prospects. And I just wouldn't hoard them. Now, if you have your top few, you keep them. But I'm a proponent of trade the minor leaguers if you can get a major leaguer back. So that's how I feel about that. Boy, this wild card's going to be interesting. I mean, the Padres sort of have separated a little bit. But, you know, you got the Braves, Mets, Phillies, Cardinals, Brewers. How's that going to shake out?
You got 8 teams above 500 in the National League with 6 spots available. I think the Phillies, without Harper, without Segura, I would be surprised if they stay over 500 as we head towards the trade deadline, which doesn't mean they're going to have to sell, but Harper's such a key to their offense, it's really going to be hard to see them holding on. So really, he's looking at 7 teams for 6 spots, maybe an 8th. I'm high on the Marlins. I was high on the Marlins at the start of the year. They've lost a ton of close games. The bullpen's been a disaster. I think they have a better chance to get into the race than the Phillies do out of the East, but you mentioned, you know, we talk about the context of a trade deadline. This is where the change in the playoff structure really helps these teams. In the past, we've seen under the one-game playoff system, teams that didn't have a chance to win their division didn't really go that hard for those wild card spots because you might just get a road game against some ace starter and it wouldn't help you. Now, the Giants advanced to the World Series, won a World Series out of that spot. The Royals advanced. It wasn't like you couldn't have success there, but playing the odds, it wasn't a good bet. Well, this year now, the worst you can do is get a three-game series, possibly all on the road, and there's that extra spot. So if you're the Giants, if you're the Cardinals, the Padres, the Braves, these teams, well, I'm talking about the Giants, I think, are the key example here. There are other ones in the American League East. But the Giants are a team that a year ago you might have said, I don't know how much you want to invest in this if you're six games out, seven games out of the best team in the league. This year, though, you're playing for that four seed. You're playing for that five seed where you actually could get a best of three. So I think it's going to really make the trade deadline a lot more interesting. There should be a lot more buyers this year.
Boy, I'll tell you, you want to be the four seed. You want to get those games at home.
Yep.
The five seed, obviously, on the road, and the six seed is playing the three seed. That's on the road, too. Boy, good stuff. This is a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing your newsletter after this weekend. So it's joesheehan.com, right?
Yeah, joesheehan.com. You can get information on the newsletter. It is a subscription product. I've been publishing it now for a little over 12 years. If you go to the site today, you'll actually see a complete piece that I wrote earlier this week about the Yankees' run prevention and some of the great work they've done with pitching and defense. Marty, they're on track to be one of the best run prevention teams it's ever played in the DH league. They're going to be one of the few teams that's ever allowed fewer than 250 runs in the first half. Just an amazing job they've done keeping runs off the board.
Oh, come on. Another couple of days, they're going to have 60 wins, and we're not even at the All-Star break yet. That to me is amazing. Amazing. Well, good stories. There's baseball stories all over the place, so we could talk for an hour here, but I appreciate you being on. And we always look forward to seeing you, and good luck with the newsletter. I promote it, and I love reading it every time I get it. So have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
All right. That is joesheehan.com. All right. More coming up. James Fegan is going to join us. He covers the White Sox for The Athletic. Get some of his thoughts about Lucas Giolito and this White Sox team right after this.